Hallelujah. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is already here. Hallelujah. We thank God for the choir. God bless you, choir. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So today we have a guest speaker. I'm sure a lot of you have met him during an anniversary. You know, our 1 year anniversary, you know, he was here. Second year, he was here, even at the beginning, when this church was formed, he was here. He's our father in the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's in the presence of Pastor Dr. Vincent Omosi.
Hallelujah.
You know, this church started, you know, you always call and ask, how are you doing? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know. He doesn't wait for me to say, oh, come and come. Then he calls and say, how are you? And the wife to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We thank God for his life. I really appreciate him. Praise the Lord. He's a man of God, a man of integrity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's the parish pastor himself and the wife, Pastor Mrs. Sarah Busi. Hallelujah. She's not here today. Praise the Lord. But they are the parish pastor of the Tabernacle of Restoration. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In the Bronx. And he's also a provincial pastor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Of New York one. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Province 7. Okay. Praise the Lord. I've forgotten about Hallelujah. The zone in. Praise the Lord. So he's here to bless us. And I believe, I don't know how, you know, how many of you have come expectant. Today's the grand finale of the men's week. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, I've come expectant because I'm, you know, I'm here to receive from God. You know, I know that God has, you know, given me a lot to give to us. Praise the Lord. And I know God is going to use them to his glory today in the name of Jesus. I meet every one of us at the very point of our needs in the name of Jesus. And he came with one of his ministers. Praise the Lord. I didn't answer his name. Praise the Lord. Okay, Brother Ayo, God bless you, sir. Thanks for coming. Hallelujah. So I want to thank our pastor for coming. Thank you for coming. You know, he's a man of integrity, a man, like I said, he doesn't need any protocol. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To get to him, praise the Lord. That's just truth. Some people, you have a lot of protocol, but himself, he doesn't have a protocol. But I just thank God for his life. And that's why I know that he's going to bless us today in the name of Jesus. So let's just, you know, welcome him. Our Father in the Lord, Pastor Dr. Vincent Omosi.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Your technology is a bit more complicated for me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm blessed.
Yeah,
I'll take it. Are you blessed?
Yes.
I'm telling you, I don't know whether you were floating in the air when the ministration was going on. I mean, I don't tell them, this is the best choir.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you guys already received your healing, but I'm receiving a touch. I received a touch from the Lord.
Amen.
Put your hands up to the Lord. Put your hands up to the Lord. Because when we're praying that anything can happen, miracle can happen anytime. The Spirit of God is moving. I see God moving. I saw the Spirit of God moving. And I see the Spirit of God moving right now, touching everyone. Even where you need his touch. God is a healer. I see God healing you. By virtue of this your anniversary, this is the third year. This is the third year. The men's week. Okay, but you have your first, second.
The fourth one is coming up.
Fourth one is coming up. But I see God giving you by virtue of this celebration, men's week. I see God touching you.
Amen.
I see God touching you.
Amen.
I don't know where you need this touch, but probably the touch of God that you need has to do with your health, which is very important. I see God touching you there.
Amen.
I did hear your amen.
Amen.
Listen to me. The church is a spiritual clinic. It's a spiritual hospital where the doctors could not find solution, could not help you. When you go to the hospital, you go there for your health. And you have the expectation, you are expectant, that when you see the doctor, your problem will be over. you will be treated and you are going to be well. Now we have come to the hospital of hospitals, clinics of clinics. You have come to the physician of physicians. I want you to trust God. I don't care what kind of amen it is, because you don't need an ill health to serve the Lord. You don't need ill health to serve the Lord. If you are not strong, you have ill health, you cannot serve the Lord in an acceptable way, the way you really want to do it, with passion and with strength. You can't do it. So I see God here, and there's Zion, where there's healing. In Zion, where there's deliverance. In Zion, Jehovah, one of the presidents of God is Jehovah Rapha. See the Lord that heals. I see God healing you. I see God touching you. I see God transforming your life. I see God lifting you. I see God lifting you. If God cannot fix it, nobody can fix it. Doctors, the hospitals, they treat, God heals. So which one do you prefer? The healer. I see God healing you. I see God touching you. I see God touching you. There's healing that's flowing in the house from Calvary. Receive it in Jesus' name. Doctor didn't know what to do with this. Everything is fine with you. You are not sick, but I was dying. That same God, that grace he gave to me, the grace and mercy he showed unto me, I see him showing it to you right now. God showed me mercy, not because I was prayerful, not because I was holy or righteous, but just for his mercy's sake. I see that God, same God, releasing his mercy upon me. I didn't hear your amen. When men are cast down, God will say, there's a lifting up. I said, there's a lifting up for somebody. There's a lifting up for somebody. God is the God who is able to turn, to change the course of the waterfall. The God that can do all things, the God of all flesh. God changing the course of the waterfall means that instead of the water flowing down, because of God's power, it can flow up. That means that God is the God that doesn't know impossibility. Every seemingly impossible situation in the house, I see God turning it around. I see God turning the tide of your life around. The tide of your academics around. The tide of your finances around. Yeah. The door has been shut against you before. I see God opening it. As the God is able to open the door, and no man can close it. I see God opening the door. I see God opening your door. In the name of Jesus. No matter how difficult a situation might be, when God shows up, glory to God. When he shows up, when Jehovah shows up, maybe it has to do with your job. You have an impossible boss or supervisor. But when God decides to show you mercy and he shows up, the situation will change. Amen. I see the situation as your job changing right now. I see the situation concerning your children changing. I see the situation concerning your marriage changing. In the name of Jesus. I think so of this week, you are celebrating. Next week, you are celebrating.
Amen.
Because one thing that God is passionate about, which I'm going to look into, is the purpose of the male. You are chosen to be a father. By virtue of this position, God has put you. God himself decided to share a title with you, father. I see God turning every impossible situation possible.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In your marriage, I see God doing it.
Amen.
In your relationship, I see God doing it.
Amen.
In your job, I see God doing it.
Amen.
In your academics, I see God doing it.
Concerning
your family, I see God doing it.
Amen.
Everything that has not worked for you before, because of this week you are celebrating, I see it working for you.
Amen.
I did hear your amen.
Amen.
I see it working for you.
Amen.
What has not worked for you before, I want you to mark it. What has not worked for you before, I see it working.
Amen.
Where you have not been favored before, where you have been put to shame before, I see God lifting you.
Amen.
I see God taking away shame from your life.
Amen.
I see the grace of God working for you.
Amen.
I see the grace of God working for you.
Amen.
Anyone that is in God is in majority. If the whole world is saying that you are bad and God says you are good, the report of God stands.
Amen.
And God is saying that you are good.
Amen.
And God is saying that whatever had happened before, that has become a thing of the past, because it's about to do a new thing. Former things you remember no more. I see that new thing happening in your life.
in your finances. In the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We shall together for the Lord Jesus.
Please, I want you to put one together for the choir. That was awesome.
You have to obey the Spirit of God, right? Mm-hmm. Glory to God. All protocols observed. I want to thank Pastor Mrs. Osagie. The Lord bless you richly. And the entire church, the Lord will honor you for even inviting me in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking it for granted. It's awesome. And I bless the name of the Lord for you. I know how. Have a limited time. I'm going to work with the time given to me. I want to thank God for you. The last time I came here, the sanctuary was not like this. There are a lot of changes here, and you have been able to make good use of this space. You know, you are the economy, you're able to economize the space very well. The judicious, good, judicious use of this space. I'm telling you, there are so many changes here. So many, this place is just transformed. That means also when you're able to manage the little God has given you, because God will not promote you beyond your capacity. So when what God says that the little has given you, have been able to handle it well, he will handle you with a bigger one.
Amen.
That's how God works. So I applaud you. Come on, clap for yourself.
Thank you so much.
Because like, you know what has always carried me, you know. Yes, it didn't come with me that day. I drove myself that day with my wife. But I can assure you, it is the great transformation here. I'm just so encouraged. You know, I'm saying, you see, I changed everything. Am I right?
Yes.
Everything will change. Everything will change. You know, that means that if God gives you a bigger place, you know, you will be able to manage it. I see God doing it for you.
Amen.
The sons of the prophet told Elijah, this place is too straight for us. You know, these days, even we pastors, including myself, we worry too much. We worry too much. I'm telling you. Because, yes, it's true that you need to move. But I'm telling you, it's the people that are going to move you. It's not you being worried. It's the people. They said to Elijah, the Bible didn't say Elijah was worried. They said the sons of the prophet came to Elijah and said, Master, this place is too straight for us. This place is too small for us. We got to move. So they were the one that actually took the initiative. And we have to move. God will so bless you that you'll be the one to say, let us move.
Amen.
God will give you the resources.
Amen.
Because you're able to manage this place well, I see God give you a bigger space.
Amen.
But you're not going to kill yourself because of it. Anything that comes from God, any blessing that comes from God, does come sorrow.
Yes.
You don't want to go to a place whereby tomorrow you are out.
Mm-hmm.
Is somebody hearing me?
Yeah.
You don't want to chew more than you can swallow. So it makes everything beautiful in his time. So when the time comes, even though it's straight for you, it's small for you. When the time comes, you will see that everybody will be willing. Say, the Bible says, on the day of his power, the people shall be willing.
Mm-hmm.
So when that time comes, you will not be pastor that will be moving you. It's you that will be moving pastor.
Hallelujah.
Because God will give you what it takes. Amen. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
Guys, I am not saying that we should move forward. I'm not saying that we should go to a bigger place. I'm not saying that we should have a large church. But I tell you that certain things you are enjoying right now, that I'm talking from the position of knowledge. A time is coming when you guys will be looking back. This fellowship used to be closer. Pastor used to call me every day. That time is coming when pastor will not call you every day because the work has grown. So there are certain things you are enjoying now. You better enjoy it well now. Is somebody hearing me?
Yes.
The Lord will help you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will be promoted in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I'm happy for you, and that you guys have inspired me. I'm telling you, you have inspired me. I'm not kidding you, and I'm not flattering you. You inspired me, the choir. I see young people playing this year. The guy was playing the keyboard with so much passion. I think he has come up. Okay, this guy was playing the keyboard with so much passion. Everybody was doing their thing, you know. This, my sister was doing her own media thing. You know, so everybody is engaged. That's how it's supposed to be. Somebody hearing me? Is somebody hearing me? Every one of you must be this. You must be doing something. It's important. You must be doing something for God. And God will be getting your back always.
Amen.
Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
Very, very important. Very, very important. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Lord, we thank you.
Thank you.
I know you have healed. I know you have delivered. Amen. I know you are releasing blessing into the hands of everyone here, into every household. Please, Lord, accept our thanks and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
A few minutes more to spend together, oh Lord, presenting your counsel. Lord, please breathe upon this word.
Amen.
Let this word bring revelation to your people. Let this word bring healing. Let this word open the eyes of your children.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. That at the end of the service today, let everyone have the full assurance without an iota of doubt. Be convinced, be persuaded that indeed you have visited us. Thank you, Abba Father. We give you glory. And the purpose for this celebration, the next week, will be fulfilled in the lives of every man.
Amen.
In the life of everyone in this church. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You are blessed. So, the title of my message, in line with the theme, is Fatherhood, the Male's Purpose. Fatherhood, the Male's Purpose, or the purpose of the male. God created them both male and female. That's what the Bible says. So the purpose of the male is fatherhood. That is the purpose of God creating you as a man. You know, and we took our scripture from 1 Corinthians 11. I'm not going to read it again. I only make references, you know, to those scriptures that we read. Hallelujah. I would like to say from the onset that the greatest problem facing the world today is the deficit of a man and not resources. The deficit of a man, not resources, not lack of resources. Fatherhood is the purpose of the male. That's why you have been chosen. That's why you have been created as a man. You know, making reference to maybe general reference was because this week we are celebrating Men's Week, so we focus more or less on men. So our sisters, that will even help you, so don't worry, because one plus one is one. So if the issue of the man, if the head is correct, every part of the body will be correct. How many of you know that?
Yeah.
If the foundation, no matter how beautiful this house is, this building is, if the foundation, if something is wrong with the foundation, then everything you are seeing here is just nonsense. How many of you know that? That's the truth. The foundation, even though you don't see it, the father or fatherhood or the male is like a foundation of any building. Once anything is wrong with the foundation, that's it. Or everything you are seeing now is, you know, beautiful outside. Once there's a problem with the foundation, it's a problem. That's how a man is. That's the truth of the matter. Is that to say that we might not put on? No, look at the scripture that we read. No, none is independent of the other. No one is independent of the other. Man is not independent of the woman. The woman is not independent of the man. They work together. They go pari passu. They go together. Does somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
If everybody, everyone have their role. The male has his role. God assigned role. Women has. You know, the women themselves, they have their own assigned role. That's how it works. So everyone plays their role, you see what you are going to get. Then the purpose of God will be fulfilled. But when the whole role is turned upside down, there's a problem. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
So fatherhood is the purpose of the male. Without a man, God is helpless. And they say, Pastor, what are you talking about here? Because God already gave dominion before the fall of Adam and Eve. God gave dominion, you know, that thing that you saw there, Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 to 28. He gave dominion to man. And when he gave us dominion, you have to give it dominion in order for you to subdue, in order for you to dominate. That's what it is. So it was because of the fall, man handed it over to Satan, and that was why Jesus came. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
So God cannot do anything on earth without going through man. God has to go through man. And conversely, devil cannot do anything without going through man. That's how it is. So when people open themselves up to be used, is it that be used by God or by the devil? But God will not allow himself to be used by the devil in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So God cannot do anything without going through man. If God is going to come down, he will come down to somebody. Hallelujah.
Amen.
May we be used of God in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God is a God of purpose. Without a purpose, there's no meaning in life. There's purpose. God created everything for a purpose. And that is why it's important to look at the principle of purpose. Because it will help us to understand, to have a better understanding of the nature of life and the purpose for being who we are as males, as men. One of the principle of purpose is that God is a God of purpose. Can somebody say that? God is a God of purpose. Can you say that?
God is a God of purpose.
Two, everything in life has a purpose. Just like I said, the man is a purpose for God creating. And that principal purpose is you being a father. So everything in life has a purpose. Three, not every purpose is known. Not every purpose is known. Four, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. In fact, if you want to know the purpose of a thing, never ask that thing. Go to the source. Fact, purpose is only found in the mind of the maker of the thing. That is true God. And seven, purpose is the key to fulfillment. Purpose is the key to fulfillment. When you know your purpose, then you'll be fulfilled. Otherwise, you see people running up and down. They've got everything in the world. Yes, they are not fulfilled. Because they are purpose, they are not pursuing their purpose. May God help us to pursue our purpose in Jesus' name.
Amen.
According to the later author, the powerful man of God, of blessed memory, that is Miles Moreau, this is what he said. He said, purpose is the source of all true fulfillment, and it defines one's existence. Without purpose, life ceases to be an existence, but instead it becomes an experiment. May we know our purpose in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said, may we know our purpose in Jesus' name.
Amen.
When God created man and woman, he designed them to fulfill their specific function and give them certain qualities and characteristics to enable them to perform his intended purpose. God created the male with a particular purpose in mind. He intended for them, that's for us, to be fathers. Therefore, he designed us to be so. If men do not know, understand, or fulfill their God-given purpose, then problems will arise, both in their identity and their relationships. The inherent purpose within all men is fatherhood. It's very important. The inherent purpose within all men is fatherhood, as God ordained it to be. You see? The greatest sin in the world, especially in the Western countries, is the sin of fatherlessness. If you go check statistics out, you see that most of the problem we have is fatherlessness, where the fatherhood has been relegated to the background, and the purpose of God is turned upside down. When this building is turned upside down, there's no foundation, and that is a problem. So you cannot change God's purpose. What God has created, even there are some people, they are trying to, some people are, you know, changing the Bible, not writing their own Bible, where because of the issue of he or she as if the Bible or God is biased regarding what the way the Bible is written, okay? So they want to, like, make it in the name of equality. You know, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because of that, I cannot delve into that. So, the inherent purpose within all men is fatherhood, as God ordained it to be. This fatherhood is not a choice for a male. It's not a choice. But right in his DNA, every male is a father by nature. Every male is a father by nature. Thank you, Osha. Anointed Osha, thank you. Every male is a father by nature. The personal fulfillment is linked to fulfilling that purpose. It should be noted, however, that though all males were created to be fathers, I want to take note of that. All males were created to be fathers. This must not be confused with the biological production of children. What am I saying here? Being a father is not necessarily you giving a birth to, that's part of it. But it is not, doesn't really explain or define fatherhood. That being a father is when you give birth to a child biologically. There are people who give birth to children biologically, you know, that don't play the role of father, including women too. Fathers, not every woman that is a mother. And giving birth, there are some people who give birth biologically to children and they throw the child away. That is not motherhood. So it's not just giving birth to children biologically that doesn't work to necessarily qualify one to be a father. You can be a father to children that didn't actually give birth to, you know, biologically, but you have fulfilled that purpose. Is somebody hearing me?
Yeah.
The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
So the definition of a father is not just giving birth, as a man giving birth to children biologically. You can be a father because you are playing the role that God has given to you, playing the role of a father. And we are going to look at some of those characteristics even here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God intends every boy to grow up into fatherhood. That's the purpose of God. In fact, we can say buried in the boy is a father. This is not referring only to the biological ability man has within himself to father offspring. Like I said before, being a father is rooted in God's image because God is father. Can't we just men? Can we clap for Jesus? Let's clap for Jesus. Sharing the title with you is a big responsibility because to whom much is given, much is expected. Can somebody say amen in the house?
Amen.
So meaning that even though if you look at statistics of churches, including our own church, don't feel bad, and I'm saying the border is the truth. No matter how big the church is, the majority of the time is you see the women that the one that's active, that the one that's moving aggressively. But that's not supposed to be, because as the foundation, you have to stand. The foundation is not there, like I said earlier on, then there's no house. No matter how intelligent or spiritual a woman is, the man is always needed, supposed to take the lead. Even if you have to delegate some assignment to your wife, that does not take your place as the man. I believe so much in delegation, not just as a husband or as a father, but even in the church. I believe so much in delegation. But that doesn't replace me as a pastor. You delegate an assignment to somebody, that doesn't mean that you are not playing your role anymore. You are giving the power to the person to carry out your function. But that doesn't mean you should, not do what you are supposed to do. Can somebody say amen to that?
Yeah.
So now I want you to hear this very clearly. Your wife will be a prayer warrior, pray with us and everything. You are not influencing everything. You are the priest of the house. You are the priest of the house. And it's not about making noise about it, because the foundation does not cry, don't you know, house, don't you know, the foundation here. You don't need to say, because it is rooted. You can't change it. God has settled it. God has put it down. So this building, the foundation doesn't need to boast about it, because it's there for everyone to see. So you don't need to say, don't you know, I need to build. Don't you know, I'm the man of the house. No message. You are. And there's not anybody can do about it. Even the world wants to change it, the government wants to change it, that's why they have a problem. So stand firm and you see God, using you and helping you so that your purpose will be fulfilled in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And our purpose will be fulfilled in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So as the church, men here, no matter how few you are, just stand. Because if you are not there, things are not going to work well. Even if you are doing better now, if you are there as man, you will see things improving. That's the truth of the matter. If just like when a house is so orderly, those of you trusting God for the food of the womb, and the Lord is going to visit you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But if the house, the way you left your house in the morning, everything is neatly done, everything, nothing is scattered, even though those of you where you were believing God for children, you were praying that Then God give me children. By the time the children come, they scatter the house, you will be complaining. But that is the second phase of blessing. Blessing has two phases. So you should be happy, because if everything is all right, you're not going to be happy. You want everything to be scattered. But by the time the children are starting to be blessed, now you are going to be complaining. The Lord will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. There are good problems. There are some problems that are good problems. How many of you know that? How many of you need a good problem? Any good problem, there was a time you were having only one tie. Just one like this. Only one shirt. Only one pant. Right now, you have more than that. The problem is, which one are you going to wear? It becomes a good problem. You want to put on a pair of shoes? You don't even know anyone to wear. That is a good problem, because you have more than enough. So there are problems that are good problems. May God give you a good problem.
Amen.
I say, may the Lord give you a good problem.
Amen.
Somebody is very difficult to, you know, it's like nobody say, how are you? As a lady, nobody say, how are you? But now there are too many people coming, suitors coming. Is that not a good problem? So problem is not a problem of choice. May God give you a good problem.
Amen.
I said, may God give you a good problem.
Amen.
At the time, people and family say, oh, I want to ask you, the children are coming now, you are the one running away. Children are coming now, you are the one running away. That, oh, God, I want children, but there are too many now. That is a good problem. Mm-hmm. I said, may God give you a good problem.
Amen.
May Jesus give you a good problem.
Amen.
When people are coming, and the place is too small for you, it's not too small. Now, that's a good problem. Because it's people that will say, we need to look for another place. We can't stay here. We have to go. May God give you a good problem as a job. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, if you need a good problem, may God give it to you.
Amen.
I said, may God give it to you.
Amen.
When you ask for one and you are getting five, that is a good problem. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a problem of choice. May God give you choices.
Amen.
May God give you more than enough.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Therefore, as we men must understand fatherhood, therefore we as men must understand fatherhood, or we will never fulfill ourselves. May we be fulfilled in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Fatherhood is the design and destiny of the male. Is the design and destiny of the male. What is father? What is father? Everyone that's coming here, I want you to take it prophetically. Whatever some of the things I'm saying here is not something I prepared for, but I'm being led by the Lord, and I want you to receive it with faith, and it shall be done to you according to your faith in Jesus' name.
Amen.
What is father? In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word Abba, A-B-B-A, Abba, and in the New Testament Greek, the word Pater, P-A-T-E-R, refer to father. Both words refer to father as, these are the characteristics of the father, source. The father is the source, but the progenitor is the source. In Orisha, you know, you know what, I'm going to digress a little bit. You know that when a woman gives birth to a child, as a female, the child is a female. Another one is a female. Another is a female. I don't know where it came from. At least I can talk about where I come from. And the family and the husband project said, why are you always having male female children? Are you always? They will be blaming the woman. They will be blaming the woman, which is gross ignorance. It's whatever you give the woman as a man, that's what the woman give back. How many of you know that?
Uh-huh.
The woman always multiplies. When you give him one, you give you double. So whatever you give, you determine the sex of the baby, not the man, not the woman. So you see that, you know, people be oppressed for nothing, blaming them for, so only having guests. That's terrible. And that's actually ignorance.
Uh-huh.
Because whether you believe it or not, look at this, check the statistics. Women, they take care of men, or family rather. Women.
Mm-hmm.
Am I lying?
No. Louder.
Because you know women carry too much. carry this one, family, you know, and all that stuff. So much you are carrying. You know, so, but the woman,
They know how to manage. Uh-huh. Even that $1, they will manage. They will find a way. It's in their DNA. It's one of the things God has given to them. The Lord will help us in Jesus.
Amen.
I said the Lord will give us. So whatever you give to a woman, he will give you back. The multiplying effect.
Uh-huh.
So men, be careful what you give to them. Because if it's good, they will multiply. If it is bad, it will be multiplied. That's the way it is. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
If you are giving that good seed, you know how much what you are going to get. You know? So you must be giving that good stuff so that what they give to me to give to you, it will be multiplied and it will be good. So that's a big revelation. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
The man is a source, a nourisher, a sustainer, just like God, supporter, founder, protector. As such, men are distinguished by the following principles. They are distinguished by the following principles. The male is the source of seed. The male is the host of the sperm. Genes that provide the genetic pool for the generations to come. He's the source of human life. Whereas the woman is the incubator of life. Incubator. You give her, she multiplies. The incubator of life. It is the woman that gives life to the man's seed. See that? Secondly, the male is the nourisher of the food. The male is the nourisher of the food. Seed comes out, gets planted, and there becomes a tree. A tree bears fruit. Whatever comes out of the seed is fruit. So therefore, you, father, are responsible for nourishing the fruit. The seed supplies the tree that sustains the fruit that in turn produces more seed. Father means nourisher. Father means nourisher. The male is the source of females, as we are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8, which says, for man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Meaning, what does that mean? Meaning, the man is responsible for what came out of him. Man is responsible for what came out of him. Every woman is man's offspring. Every woman is man's offspring. So if you, I'm going to skip that. A woman is your sister first family, offspring. Then she becomes your bride. You know? I don't want to digress too much. You know, when you are getting married, when somebody is getting married, you know how the father will come and hand over him, the bride, to the man. You witnessed wedding before, right? Mm-hmm. When the father of the bride, the woman will give the, you know, take the hand of the bride, give it to the minister that's officiating. It's exchange of fathers. It's actually exchange of fathers. Somebody hearing me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why. Your wife is actually your daughter first before being your wife, because they exchange your father. That, and that's the reason why you change your name to his name. Woman's name, you begin to bear the man's name. It's actually the exchange of father. So how will you be beating your child or your daughter? Beating your daughter in a bad way. So you cannot be beating our children like that. If you see your wife as your sister, as your daughter, your first daughter, you know, then you will not do anything bad to her. The Lord will help us men in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I say, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Real men, the way God designed it, real men do not slap, kick, or cause their wives. Those who do so are imposters and fools, ignorant of their God-given purpose. In other words, they are not aware of the purpose of God. And once purpose is not known, then abuse is inevitable. you, as I said. Such ignorant men are dangerous because where people is known, is unknown, abuse is inevitable. Male is designed to protect his food. The male is designed, we're talking about why you are chosen, why God has chosen you to be a father. You have to protect your food. The male is designed to protect his food. That is the reason from your for your strength, the strength God has given you as a man, the strength God has given us as men. It is not meant to beat a woman or your wife, but to protect her. The safest place for a woman should be in the arms of her husband. That is her Abba. Abba means father. If that is not the case, he is in trouble. Fatherhood is an awesome responsibility because you then become the progenitor of all that comes out of you and must protect all that comes out of you. Because father means protector. Also, the male determines the type and quality of the offspring. The male determines the type and quality of the offspring. Because you carry the seed within you, you also carry the type of tree it will become. This means also that there are some thorns and some bad seeds. Men must be careful about what kind of soil you use to plant your seed. Seed may be good, but if the soil has poor nutrition in it, then we have a sick tree. May we not have sick tree in Jesus' name. Good seed should never be just thrown about anywhere. You want quality soil for your seed to guarantee good seeds. I think some of this is in quotes, and I know the men are able to decode it. The quality of the woman affects the quality of the food. Okay? Fatherhood means quality management. Fatherhood means quality management. So I have a family in my church, a couple. Whenever they have any little problem, the guy has started calling his sister. Every little thing. He will be the one doing the calling, or not the wife. Telling everything what is happening. Marriage is not for boys. It's for men. So that guy is a boy. It's not a it's a boy. You call him. You call him anything little thing. You are calling. You are supposed to protect your family, to try to protect your wife. And everything you are telling your sister, everything about your wife. And what does the guy say? Hey, he want to buy a house. Hey, he took, how many years did it take me when I was in this country? It took me many years before I bought my house. With your skin, it's not long that you are buying a house. Is somebody here? What is that? You have exposed yourself. And now jealousy is coming in. If I came here 20 years before I bought a house, does it mean if my brother comes tomorrow and he has the means to buy a house, I will say, oh, it took me 20 years to buy a house. Why do you want to buy a house within 3-5 years? That's crazy. But you as a family, as a father, you can't be exposing your family. Now look at that kind of answer. And this guy is so stupid. I'm sorry to do that, but I just told you that you're exposing yourself. Now there's jealousy. Everything you are doing, you are exposing it. You feel your sister loves you. So who's your wife? Your sister or your wife? That's your wife. Who's taking the first place? And this guy doesn't have his brain. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Fatherhood means quality management. The male maintains the offspring. The father principle is to maintain. The male is responsible for the security. That guy was not doing that. The male is responsible for the security, sustenance, and deployment of his seed. Fatherhood means maintenance. As men, may God help us to fulfill that in Jesus' name. The male teaches his seed. He gives his seed knowledge. A man is a godly father when he takes responsibility for his seed. The source must sustain. As men, we must sustain. The source must sustain. The source must train and instruct the resource. That is fatherhood. Most women, especially in this part of this world, are doing the teaching and training. But God says that fathers are to do the teaching and training in the home. That means you, as the male, are responsible not only for having babies, but also for training those babies.
and teaching them to walk in the ways of the Lord. And look at what Mike Morrow said. I'm concluding. Look at what Mike Morrow said concerning this point. What did he say? What did Mike Morrow say about it? He said, it is difficult to lead children to the Lord if you are an absentee father. It's difficult. You cannot take somebody to where you have not been. It's hard to take people to where God is if you are not heading that way yourself. You cannot lead your family to where you are not going. Every male is responsible for anything that comes out of the female. This is the principle and responsibility of the male as the primary source of the human family. That's what Paul said, made reference to in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 3, 8, and 11. I previously said. So conclusively, as a father, you are chosen by God to carry out the following function: 1, progenitor; 2, source; 3, sustainer and nourisher; 4, protector; 5, a teacher; 6, a disciplinarian. There are some parents, I'm wrapping up now, there are some fathers, right? They want to appease their children. You have to be friends to your children, true, but you cannot be doing divide and rule in the house. When the mother tries to discipline, one tries to discipline, the other one is trying to appease. So there's division in the house. Where you want to discipline a child, then you want to be a friend. So you want to see the children, see the mother as the enemy, while the father is the friend. That is very, very, very dangerous. You are playing a very dangerous game. I know these children are politicians. I'm telling you, the children are politicians. They want to hit your head against the head of your spouse if you are not careful. And you just cry to you, and then you take inside with him or her. After a big burst of, you want to just appease him or her. And then anytime you do, if doing anything bad, it come to you. Because he or she knows you're going to take side. And then you are actually causing problems. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So it's supposed to be a disciplinarian. Even if you are going to disagree with your spouse concerning whatever it has done, do not do it in the presence of the children. When you do, it's going to be a problem. You do it when you are just alone and you correct, you know, each other regarding that. What you did to the child is not good or something like that, you know, you correct. Not in the presence of the children. When you do that, you are really setting a bad example, bad precedent. God will help us in Jesus' name. If the father, you are a disciplinarian, you are a leader. You are a leader. I said that before. You are a leader. You can delegate. Authority can delegate assignment, but that doesn't mean that you are not the head. And when I say head, I don't mean that the woman is a footmat. That's not what I mean. Everybody has their own role to play in the house. The Bible said it very clearly. Sometimes we want to take some part of the Bible, we want to throw the other part away. Okay? Because there's a message that I'm passionate about, you know, which has to do with mutual submission. Submit one to another. Philippians 5 says submit one to another. But we don't see that. Based on where we come from, our culture, we don't see that. We only look at the past, say, we may submit. The one that says submit one to another, we don't want to talk about that. So we cancel that from our Bible. Unfortunately, we cannot hear it. So mutual submission, not only in marriage, but in everything we do. If you submit to me and I submit to you, even relationship as church members, as brothers and sisters, when we submit one to another, there will be peace in the home, there will be peace in the community, there will be peace in the family. When it's only coming, only you that is submitting, there's going to be a problem. We submit one to another in everything that we do. Even as colleagues, we submit one to another. When you do that, there will be peace. There will be harmony. You know, it's what we call when you give, that's mutuality. So you're always taking from somebody, you know, and you're not receiving. There's going to be a problem. Before long, there's going to be a problem, even in friendship. That's a selfish relationship. You want only one person to be giving, the person is going to be tired, and you are not investing in the friendship. You know, it's not going to work. So also it is. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Head, carrying one, we are developers. As men, we are developers. Let's rise up, please. Let's rise up. Let's lift our hands up to the Lord. Your life will not remain the same.
Amen.
As men,
the position God has put you, the enemy will not push you away from them.
Yeah.
And we will not run away from our responsibility.
Yeah.
God has made you the priest. It's not how much you say. It's not your eloquence that has placed you there. It's not the degree that, it's not education that has put you there. Yes, these things are good, but it's God that has put you there. So may you, God help you so that you're able to fulfill that purpose.
Amen.
I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
May you fulfill your God-given purpose.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the church, may you fulfill it.
Amen.
At home, may you fulfill it.
Amen.
In the family, may you fulfill
Amen.
It. At your place of work, may you fulfill it.
Amen.
Wherever you go, may you fulfill it.
Amen.
God will help you so that you will not sell your family.
Amen.
Like the example I just gave. You will not sell your home.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Because whatever you do to your spouse, you are doing it to yourself. Whatever you do to your spouse, you are doing it to yourself. May God help give you wisdom.
Amen.
God, may God give us wisdom.
Amen.
I have to add myself to it. May God give us wisdom.
Amen.
As men, in the name of Jesus,
Amen.
You will not fail.
Amen.
You will not faint.
Amen.
And whatever declaration I've made earlier on when I started, may God answer the prayers.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
This church will move from glory to glory.
Amen.
When I come here next time, God will have moved you.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.